Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome once more to Reckless Attack, a fifth edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am, as always, your GM, Nathan, and I am extreme serenity today. Very chill, like smooth, undisturbed water.
Like a waveless lake.
Like a lake that has no waves upon it. I am chill. I am utterly unflappable.
And we, the players, are here to ruin that.
We bring the flaps.
Oh, you say that, but I think you all will be experiencing the flappening.
I don't like this metaphor.
Yeah.
I am GM Nathan, and across from me is...
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I never go first. But I play Kaskrin Brightmane, the Dwarven Sorcerer. And Kaskrin has not seen an arcane storm before, or has he actually? He might have.
You would certainly be...
He knows of them.
Yeah, you would definitely know of them. They usually aren't around cities super often.
Yeah.
I
have tornadoes in Chicago.
Right.
Yeah.
I've heard of them. This is Kaskrin's first time experiencing one, and that's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And Checkers is really feeling like an intern at his first day of work, where he shows up all bright-eyed and shiny, and then the building just sets on fire, and he's like, I don't know what to do about this.
To make it worse, technically, you're not a new intern. You're, like, new CEO.
That's true.
Right. You actually have all the responsibility.
Yeah. This is technically your fault, in a
per
way.
Per your own org chart.
That's true. Okay, we'll see how things go. And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human asterisk cleric asterisk of the Arcana Domain. And Val, like Kaskrin, is like, oh, okay, cool, neat. Great scientific opportunity upon us. Wow.
It's like storm chasers.
Yeah, exactly. Too bad I don't have a pickup truck with four augers
just
hunker down in during this arcane storm.
I get reminded a lot of how recently you guys have watched and rewatched the Twister films.
I fucking love them.
They're pretty good.
I don't like natural disaster films. I fucking love Twister and Twisters.
I mean, I was passing no judgment. It's just like, you guys, every once in a while, will just say something hyper-specifically definitely from Twister or Twisters. And like, ah, yes, pretty into that film.
Across the table from me.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I play Selv Asterlin, the dragonborn monk who is excited to tell you all about how his life got flipped turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, so just sit right there, and we'll tell you how we ended up in a skyship in the air.
How long are you thinking about that one, Steve?
Yeah. Actually, just since David went.
Also,
this is what happened when you give Steve a little bit more time.
Yeah. I gotta choose him first every time.
I will also remind you, Checkers, that mutiny is still on the table.
Okay. Well, now would be a good time.
Yeah.
If someone would
actually, I welcome this. Yeah. I give you this opportunity to mutiny.
Someone would like to mutin right now. That would be very welcome.
In fact, I'm going to go throw myself in the brig myself, and then somebody else will take over.
Captain's orders.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you went last, Steve/Selv, because the predicament that you all find yourselves in is one that is, I guess, technically familiar to Selv, in that you all, in your glorious new skyship, have been traveling for a day and a half. No, not even. I think it's literally day one, as I recall. It's the evening of day one. And it was, smooth traveling. It was really good. Just got to bop around, got to meet some of your new crewmates, got to explore the space, all that good stuff. Just as everyone's probably about to, wind down for the night, chill out. Some alarms start going off. And Selv, you are looking down the bow. The bow. We'll say looking down the bow. That's a ship term. Of an arcane storm, something that you personally have survived previously, barely, and something that the rest of you, again, certainly are familiar with, but may or may not have experienced, and definitely know it's not something that you just walk out into or, say, fly a ship out into if you have
one
a choice.
One does not, as a child, go out and jump into puddles during an arcane storm.
Yeah, exactly. Lest your feet turn to frogs,
right,
kind of deal. As a reminder, this is just a roiling ball of magical energy. Weird stuff can happen. It is almost like a wild magic occurrence. All sorts of strange things are on the table, and there it is in front of you.
Can you remind me actually how big is it? Like, is there any chance we can go around it, or are we just like plummeting straight into this thing?
So a whole segment of the sky is a circular ball of lightning. You can tell every once in a while when the various colors of lightning are flashing around it that underneath it is this insane, almost liquid cloud movement. Such is its waves and speed of rotation. To answer the second part of your question of, is there any chance that we can maybe not steer into this thing? You all are looking at it, and it is large, but it is not upon you yet. You're not in it. And it's not taking up the whole sky. Captain Silvertooth says, something strange is happening. I see one of these I know well enough to leave it alone, but I've been trying to correct our course for some time. It seems to be getting closer.
Like it's tracking us.
Well, that would ascribe a higher degree of thinking to something technically natural that I'm not comfortable acknowledging.
Captain, what are the odds the Sky Stalker can survive something like this?
If I were offering my knowledge, he says, kind of looking over at Admiral Captain Checkers.
You just see Admiral Captain Checkers actively ripping up his own org chart at this moment.
Yeah, what do you think, Captain Livingstone?
I can try my best to fly us around. That being said, that one's not behaving like any I've seen the like of before.
And Cascarin also looks around to what the Tims and the Joes are doing. Are there any of them that are on deck? Are they like running to below deck? Like
thus far, everyone is standing on deck.
Okay.
No one has been issued any orders. The crew is there, both members of the Bones in there, all of you guys are there. And interestingly, making her first appearance since you guys have taken back off, Simone is here, the electrical mamba.
And is the storm like this roiling like electrical cloud in the distance, or is it like, are we experiencing a different weather as we're kind of flying forward and unable to pivot away from this thing?
Unfortunately, right now, it is the same. It is still the beautiful,
oh man,
cool night that you have been experiencing for multiple hours now. But ahead of you,
yeah,
unquestionably, is this giant orb of menace that is certainly bigger than when you looked at it even a few moments ago.
Somehow that's so much worse.
Admiral Captain.
Captain.
What say you? Do we try to run? Do we try to fly around or through it? What would you have us do?
If we're not going to get away from it, I say we batten down the hatches and charge right in.
As you say that, he gives the faintest little blink of his eye patch eye and then wheels around on the rest of you. The crew, the guilders, the bones, everyone. All right, you heard him. Crew, you know what to do. Guilders, make yourself useful. Find a problem and solve it. Simone, he looks down at the giant roiling snake that is at his feet. He says, "Uppies." And she immediately goes straight for the main mast and coils up it and goes straight to the top above the crow's nest at the top of the whole ship.
What a good girl.
All right, you heard him. If they've got a problem, Yo will solve it.
The rest of the crew has spread out around the ship. They clearly have some pre-assigned roles that they know to kind of take during these sorts of situations.
This was not one of the situations Val knew to ask about. Yeah. Like, how to be helpful in this.
No, that was definitely one of those of like, we'll get to that on day two or three kind of discussions of like, all right, cool. Now that we have the org chart, let's divvy up these tasks accordingly. This is hitting just a little before that part of your orientation as part of ship people. But all you guys need to do is just
solve problems.
Make sure you don't die, which is a problem to solve.
We've been doing that for 9 levels. So we're pretty good at it by this point.
Again, Captain Livingstone knows how good you guys are at collectively not dying. And so he's like, you guys just have like carte blanche to figure out how to keep us all afloat and or alive. Everyone has sprung into action. People are moving. The captain has now walked over to the helm and is already, as you guys feel your center of gravity shift, has already started just absolutely hauling on the wheel, trying to turn it, trying to get it a little bit along the side of this storm. But you can see it is far too late, because this huge thing now blocks out the entire western view of your field of vision. And now you can all feel arcane power humming off of this thing. And there's a moment where you feel both that and the stillness of the night air before you are plunged into chaos. And with that, let's roll for initiative.
Cool.
Skill challenge, baby.
That was the same inflection you used when you said, and that is where we're going to end this episode.
Checkers with a 10.
Caskrin with a 10.
Hey.
Selv with a 6.
Oh, no.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, rolled a
2. Y'all.
Val with a 2.
Yo.
Okay.
This is a skill challenge, guys. You're going to have some better dice than this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listeners, you all know a little bit of how we do our various skill challenges here at Reckless Attack. This one, though, has a little extra twist to it. Because an arcane storm is inherently a very chaotic, strange, ever-evolving situation. Anything can happen. And so, there's going to be some little problems thrown in that are going to be all randomly rolled for.
Ooh.
On a table that I have created.
Mm.
You all are plunged into darkness. The lighting here is both a blessing and a curse, because you are able to see well enough, but it is because of how frequent the multicolored lightning bolts are coursing all around you are that are lighting the deck of the Sky Stalker. In here, it is hard to hear. It is as if you are wearing earmuffs. Something about it is just oppressive to you. At the same time, you are all filled with this energy, an almost nervous, hyperactive energy where there's just something going on that is more than adrenaline. Adrenaline plus is coursing through you at the moment.
It's called Surge.
A hyper caffeinated, it is the Panera super caffeinated lemonade?
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Didn't they have a drink that killed a guy? It's that.
And now we've got it.
And now we've got it. Reckless Attack branded. And there is a fraction of a moment where you are all aware of these feelings, aware of your body, aware of this disorienting display of lights and power, when a bolt hits the ship. the whole thing rocks. But it seems the ship is holding, it is stable, until you start to see slowly sprouting, but growing quickly, trees growing all over the ship. And these things are growing at an exponential rate. You can feel that as they start growing, the ship starts to rumble as all of this extra weight and aerodynamic pressure is being put on the hull, and trees are sprouting up everywhere across the deck. And that is just the first of what will be many problems awaiting you. Checkers, it is your turn.
Okay.
You can either start dealing with these various trees sprouting out, or of course do any number of things to ensure the safety of your crew and or the ship itself. We are looking in total for 9 successes before you hit 5 failures.
So I don't want this first turn to look too much like a regular turn in combat, but I do have an idea of what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mango's going to grow to large size.
Great.
And what I want him to do is start trying to grab and push and essentially just try to remove as many trees as he can.
Love that.
Given that how big and strong he is.
Definitely.
At the same time, I'm thinking that Captain Livingstone is holding at the wheel, trying to get the ship to turn in the direction that he wants, but it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to cast the spell Enhance Ability on Captain Livingstone so that he gets advantage on his strength checks. So at least I want to do an athletics check, but I also want to give Captain Livingstone a bonus.
I like both of those ideas a lot. Here's what I'm going to do.
Sure.
I'm going to give you an Admiral Captain's action.
Hey, nice.
And you can roll a athletics check for Mango.
Yes.
And I will give you an additional roll, which will count towards success and failures.
Okay.
But I will make that maybe... I could do a spellcasting check. I could do some sort of a charisma-y check. Whatever you feel is most appropriate.
I will take the spellcasting check, if that's all right.
It seems reasonable.
All right, so Mango's going to try and shove one of the trees off of the bridge.
Got it.
That'll be a 27 to shove a tree off.
That is a success.
Nice.
Way to go, Mango.
He's a big boy. He has no problem just hoisting a tree and shoving it off the bridge.
Arm sweeps a forest off.
You all hear cracking of wood. And probably, at least for the members of the crew, there is a moment of horrific panic because that is not a good sound when you're on a ship. But clearly, it is all part of the plan. Thank you, Admiral Captain. Second, Admiral Captain's action, please.
And for this one, I'll make a roll with my spell modifier bonus. Oh, nice. 26.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah, that one was good. So Captain Livingstone finds himself filled with energy, filled with the strength of 10 men. As I cast Enhance Ability.
You can hear him as his rippling biceps are just heaving the wheel of the boat as he's trying to turn against the craziness of this storm. Kaskrin Brightmane, your go.
I have such a dumb idea.
This is a skill challenge, baby. That's what we're here for.
I'm imagining this arcane storm is just made of, you know, it's like pure magical energy.
Yes.
It's like untamed, impossible. But Kaskrin wants to try and control that to some degree. I'm kind of imagining because Kaskrin is so in tune with the elements, he might have a little bit more of like resilience than the average person. And I'm wondering if he could basically like tank a lightning strike and redirect and filter the magical energy into the ship to, like, improve propulsion.
So, what I love about this is that this occurs to Kaskrin. Mind is racing, trying to come up with solutions, thinking outside the box. And in this exact moment, you see up on the mast, Simone is struck by lightning, and a huge bolt of energy goes through the mast and into the ship. And does exactly what you're talking
Hell
about.
Yeah.
So
cool.
You know it's possible. You know maybe you can do it. So either, what I'm hearing is either you can use this first one to go up and start climbing, or I'm fine with you just like ascending, being up there, or just standing out in kind of the middle of nowhere being like, bring it, storm, come to me.
I think I will head up to the front of the ship.
Love it.
Where the talking plank that we found and affixed to the front of the ship is, and I will Titanic, bring it, storm.
Okay. I think constitution, I think spell casting modifier would also make some sense there because okay. You're kind of channeling or, you know.
Or charisma for that taunt.
I was going to say, worst case scenario.
Double mids to the storm, just like, get wrecked.
Seems reasonable
come at me.
Too.
I'm going to do constitution. That is a 17.
That is a failure.
No! No. As one crispy Caspian comes right up.
You go up, and now that you guys are inside of the storm, you cannot see any edges. You are totally enveloped, and things are picking up all around you. It is chaos incarnate. Caspian, you go up, and you try to essentially attract and direct some of that arcane energy to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's kind of cool. Like you're almost trying to filter the energy through you,
right?
In a productive way, but this thing just absolutely punches you. And then you're feeling a little crispy.
Yeah.
When, and I'm rolling a d6 here, something happens. Caskrin.
Am I a tree now?
You come to. You realize you blacked out for just a moment. You look around you and at your feet and all surrounding you on the deck is a purple flame. The deck is on fire.
Ah, poop.
Selvashtalin is your go.
Oh, boy. Okay, so we've got trees sprouting, and we have a fire.
We have trees sprouting, we have a fire, and a myriad of other problems that I'm sure exist literally anywhere in the ship.
Yes. I believe, and Jonathan, you'll have to help me out here, Mango still has a large container of water.
That's correct.
On him.
Okay. Large barrel, large water.
Large barrel, large water. All right. Is there more water than there?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. I'll take it.
Well, it is a possession, so it would also potentially expand the same volume. I'm fine with that in a way that I know might bite me in the butt at some point, unforeseeable in the future, but that's fine for now.
In that case, is there a stopper or something on it?
Yeah, there's a stopper.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull the stopper out, just shout towards Mango,
spread the water on the fire, spread the water on the fire.
And then I will use shape water and move the water from the barrel out onto the floor, onto the deck where Cass is, where the fire is burning purple.
Cass is like, stop, dropping, rolling.
Which is probably a little effective in that you are largely made out of stone and possibly armor. So I think, yes, spell modifier seems very reasonable.
How about we use survival to try to determine where the flame is going to be spreading to next, and then kind of using that to
push
water in that
I actually
that
super dig that as you're preventing the spread of the fire, trying to keep it contained. Yeah, I dig that.
What all about right. survival to try to help Caskrin survive?
You have to roll survival,
unfortunately.
No! But you can't because I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, so survival it is. That's a 13.
Oh, no.
Ooh, big fail. Uh-oh.
We joked before about failing immediately, and 2 out of 5. We got 7 successes to go,
because I got 2. Oh, jeez.
Good luck, Admiral Captain Checkers.
All right. I'm holding this ship together.
Yeah.
No pressure, Sophie, but can you bring us up to a positive average as it is your turn?
I'll sure as heck try. Val, a lot's happening, and the first problem she saw were the trees. She's like, I gotta solve this. It came in as a ticket queue, first in, first out. Mm-hmm. All right. Val, seeing Mango like rip them up, is like, I can't do that.
That ain't
but
me.
I can call in some friends. So Val is going to run towards the forest growing on the ship and cast Spirit Guardians and bring a horde of lumberjacks with her to all attack the tree.
Okay, I dig this. I'm going to ask for a we'll say maybe a religion or arcana check.
Okay.
How muscular and or shirtless are these lumberjacks?
That's true.
They are in no way shirtless. They are very muscular, but they have full hat, the helmet that also has ear protection and Ooh. Eye protection.
Nice.
They got those like chaps on so they don't get splinters when they're cutting down the trees. They're so prepared.
They are a lumberjack and they're okay.
Yes.
I'll do a religion.
Okay.
And I'm going to use my inspiration because I can't.
You can't.
18?
That is a failure.
What?
Wow.
Oh, no. Wait a minute.
I rolled 2 12s.
Uh-oh. So All of these spectral All of these spectral lumberjacks, my brain could not let go of the word librarians. All these spectral lumberjacks start swirling around you, and they're making progress. They're chopping into the wood, but it is not fast enough as these things are growing at an exponential rate. And again, another big shudder goes through the entire ship, and you hear some bad sounds. Creaking of wood, some snapping, some nails busting loose. And now I'm going to roll 2 more times. 2 more bolts hit the ship. You all feel a horrible tingling sensation in your extremities, as if they have been asleep and are now waking up and all the circulation is coming, except times 4. It's extremely, extremely uncomfortable.
Just take me down with the ship now.
Kaskrin, you look down. Is it the fire that is burning off my nerve endings?
Yeah.
Is this something else? Everyone looks down and cannot see their arms or legs. They are invisible.
Can I see my torso?
Yep. And you're still standing. If you're holding something, you're still holding it. Just your appendages, they're invisible now.
We're now in an episode of The Venture Brothers.
This is like Halo's like big head mode, but torso only.
Only torsos. And then the second strike hits. The light goes on, and the light turns off, and in the darkness, you see red eyes surrounding the ship. Another flash, and it seems like scores of flying worms are surrounding your ship. Each of them have a huge, open, beaked mouth, big curved horns like a demonic bull, and again, fiery red eyes. In this moment, Captain Livingstone shouts out a curse so profane that even on our explicitly rated podcast, I dare not repeat. In this moment, you are all filled with a feeling that is familiar to you. A feeling you have, I'm sure, felt many times since then. Since
warmth and safety?
Alas, no. Well, there is a warmth to it, but you haven't felt it with this intensity since that day you ventured outside of the walls of Agmar for the first time and encountered a smoke monster that stoked feelings of anger and rage inside you all. You all are a little stronger now, a little more willful, but you feel something in your chest trying to prod you. But luckily, you all are 9th level adventurers now, and so while you can't be influenced in that way, boy, there's a lot of angry worms around this boat now. Admiral Captain Checkers.
Yes.
There are trees all over your ship.
Mm-hmm.
There's fire all over your ship and also your Kaskrin. There are spectral lumberjacks all over your ship, and now your ship is surrounded by something.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to do?
So, question. I'm starting to feel really upset that everything is targeting my ship.
Mm-hmm.
Does seeing Selv and his ring bring me any comfort?
I will say mechanically, No.
Okay.
But you know what always makes, I think, probably everyone feel better in a crisis situation?
Mm-hmm.
Is remembering Selv is here.
Yes, that's true.
So you are not afraid mechanically.
Okay. And just turning around, I'm noticing that Mango is really starting to freak out a bit. You know, first our limbs went invisible.
His limbs are also...
He does not understand. Like, he's very intelligent, but, like, it's an animal intelligence.
Yes.
So just having his limbs disappear while he's ripping trees out, real tough situation. And then on top of that, the large group of worms flying around. It's a lot for a poor Mango. So what I would like to do is animal handling to try and calm Mango down and keep him on task. And this will be with advantage. Thank God. The first one was a 4. 26 for animal handling.
That is a pass.
And for my Admiral Captain action.
That was a first round.
Dang.
First round only.
Okay. That's fine.
Alas. Okay. So what do you say to Mango in this moment? Or is it just like that shared connection that you guys have? You are sending just good vibes to be like, hey, my arms are gone too. It's totally fine.
It's still like normal. So I'll speak to Mango in kind of a low, quiet tone, just that something that he can hear underneath all of the chaos. And this will be specifically in Frog. So Checker speaks Frog, and hopefully hearing his language in a nice calming tone will help reassure Mango that everything's going to be okay.
Mango, Selv, I think you are still up near or on Mango. You can also feel a big inflated frog breath and a whatever the frog equivalent of is. As Mango chills out just a little bit, remembers, hey, I'm a part of this crew too. I got a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
Kaskrin Brightmane, your go.
Okay, so remind me, is the ground around me on fire or is Kaskrin on fire?
I leave it to your personal interpretations, but at least the ship is extremely on fire.
Okay, yes. Unfortunately, I don't think I can do anything about that right now.
and that is fine. You do not need to solve that exact problem.
Yeah.
You can be like,
very least you can move out of the fire.
I got other shit to do.
Yeah.
That's fine. Someone who has water powers can maybe address this. I'm going to keep moving.
Yeah. So Kaskrin knows that eventually the fire will consume the ship, but I think the worms are going to get us before it does. And Kaskrin is going to run out of the fire. He kind of like braces himself and starts charging away from the fire. And he is going to make his way below decks. And as soon as he gets there, he hears like the rumble and the shouts of people, you know, going about doing crisis-based ship things. And he's going to run towards where the cannons are. He sees the Seeker on the way. He sees the burden. He beckons them to come with him. And he's going to try to get everyone there coordinated and starting to fire these cannons at the horde of worms all around us. I would like to make a charisma check in order to try and convince everyone, try to bolster their morale in these trying times and coordinate them to get these cannons operational.
I am actually going to give you advantage on this.
Ooh.
This was a secret mechanic that I wasn't going to tell you guys about until it came up. But the members of the Bones are helpful in very specific circumstances. Usually it was going to be like, oh yeah, like if you're down there and you want to patch up a hole quick or like hold something up, do something physical, they could help. But also I would say like, hey guys, things are really serious. I need you to focus up. And if members of the Bones show up to help you do that, I think that maybe could offer a little bit of extra advantage. So you can take one of the two advantages that the members of the Bones will allow in this particular skill challenge.
Nice. Can I make a persuasion check?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Neither of those are the die that we told you to use.
With advantage, that is a 17.
Failure.
Oh, man.
What does this even look like?
They trip.
There's too much chaos.
What it is that you give these orders, and there is so much chaos that they do start moving to the cannons and the various weaponry under deck, but it takes them just long enough to get organized that it's not as effective as it could have been had they really hopped into it. And now other things are being unattended to.
Shoot.
That is 4 failures.
Is this something I could use the coin for? The lucky coin.
What does the coin say?
It says 1d20 roll.
Is it after the roll?
After
I believe
the
it
roll.
Is. 1,000,000% it is.
Okay, fantastic. Do I still get advantage?
I think that's usually how 5e mechanics work, is okay. That you get a re-roll on the thing.
Okay. Kaskrin is like shouting orders. He's, you know, saying things. All of a sudden, he has this intuition in the back of his head that like, these are not the right words. And he changes tactics, and he's going to try and roll again.
David, you better change the fucking die.
I'm using 2 completely different sets of dice. One of them is a good one. I rolled an 18 on this one last time. Let's see. That is a 19.
Huh? A success.
Hey! Oh, wow. Oh my god. If you could say that was a failure, I'm just going to flip this table.
DC is 19.
Jesus.
That's bad.
But that brings you guys into the positive.
That's
for
true.
What might be the first time since I think Jonathan went, essentially.
Yes. I started us off strong. Look where you got us.
Yeah. All it took to get here was 2 advantages and rolling again.
Rolling 4 times and one of them finally hit the right mark. Still, you're able to rally these people just enough that rounds start firing.
Okay.
And again, these beams of essentially fire get shot all around, and you start to hear bestial sounds of pain as these lasers essentially start arcing and cutting into them. And at that, a couple things happen.
Cool.
I'm going to roll again. First, at this provocation, the creatures, while this initial attack, cut into their numbers. At this, they charge the ship.
Oh, okay.
Kaskrin, you are under deck. I'm imagining there's some amount of portholes and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Many have been closed in this moment, but these creatures start bursting in and trying to wiggle their way through. They don't quite fit, but they are pushing with a ferocity to get in. And what you hear repeated over and over and over, many voices saying the same thing.
More fuel for the glorious war. More fuel for the glorious war.
And these voices echo throughout the entire ship. For those of you who are still on the deck, something changes, and it takes you a second to realize that everything feels a little wobbly up here. And you look down through your translucent legs, and you see that all of the wood is now dirt and grass instead of planks. You are probably just below deck, Kaskrin.
Yeah.
And you can see above you being held up by the usual braces and wood and metal is a thick bit of dirt and roots sticking down through it. while your characters wouldn't know what happened, or maybe wouldn't be able to parse what happened until afterwards, just in case you all die, I'm going to tell you this now. The deck and the ground below you have switched places.
Cool.
Selvasterlin, trees are growing.
Trees are
Fires
growing.
Are spreading. By Fire. The way, the deck is grass now, which is pretty flammable. And creatures chanting about a glorious war are convening on your ship. What would you like to do?
So, one of the potions that Etrus gave to us was a Melite potion, which basically drink that and you glow for about an hour, providing light.
Well, you gotta shake yourself up first.
Yes.
Oh, and then you crack your knuckles. Right.
I gotta crack my knuckles, yeah. Get that nice healthy glow. So I'm gonna drink this Melite potion that we got from Etrus, which basically causes me to glow and provide light for almost the whole ship, right? If I'm standing in the middle, I think. And then I am going to attempt to rally the deckhands and inspire them to work hard. We can get through this. And I'm essentially going to say to them, actually, I'm not going to say it to them. I am going to just kind of say as in a chant to myself,
"There is no darkness so powerful that a single light cannot show the way."
Okay. Give me a check. And because you're using a consumable, I will give you advantage on this.
Cool.
But also, do note, all of these creatures can also see you and may make your life a little harder in the longer term.
That's what the dodge action is for. okay, here we go. Ooh, so that's a 3. However, this is an 18 plus 7.
Hey!
Cool.
Nice.
Becomes a 25.
That
Thank God.
Is a success. Woo. Pulling a little ahead. Valeska Carter. Shit has popped off. What would you like to do?
I think Val will, seeing these worms, seeing them show a little bit of intelligence and like trying to get through to the ship and have some tactics, will think back on all the other aberrations and first ones that we've encountered, because these worms have use the company motto.
Yes, indeed.
More fuel for the glorious war. Yep. And she wants to know how they'll act in the rest of this battle. Mm-hmm. So she will use Arcana to help figure that out. Can I cast guidance on myself?
Alas, I don't believe so, no.
We haven't had a good guidance.
Yeah,
in a while.
Yeah. A hot minute here.
And I'll make an Arcana check for that. 20.
Oh, nice.
That is a success.
Pretty good.
Psst. Hey, Starbuck, thank you.
You are watching. You are trying to, again, you're trying to essentially identify this thing and trying to figure out how it's working and that sort of deal. And you can tell that these are coordinated and that the way that they're chanting is very coordinated. And if not a swarm, maybe some sort of a hive mind, something like that. And they are just going to keep throwing themselves at the ship until none of them are left.
Okay.
Is their vibe.
Val will shout into the swirling storm, "They're a hive mind! We can defeat them as one!"
Something happens. Another flash.
Oh, boy.
I have some extremely good news for you.
Wow.
I don't like the way you said that still.
I'm still nervous.
The trees are gone.
Wow. Good job, Mango.
The trees are gone.
Replaced by...
A lot of the damage is still present, even with the suddenly replaced sod that is just there on your deck.
Mm-hmm.
Also, another bit of good news. You can see all your appendages again.
Hmm.
So that effect is over. Actually, technically, I have a third piece of good news. Again, flash of light, darkness, flash of light. You can see your hands, but something is different about you.
Did you cast Pass Without Trace? Are we octopus again?
No, no. Is this the body swap episode?
I would never waste it on a skill challenge. Yeah. I thought about it. Not happening.
I'm immediately just thinking hot dog fingers.
Immediately.
No. Again, I said it's a very good thing.
Hot dog fingers are good.
You are all wearing your favorite outfit.
Hey.
The outfit has not changed.
I was going to say, what I'll say is this. It is in the deep subconsciouses of your brain. There lives a perfect outfit. It may not exist to your waking mind. You may never have even seen these styles, these clothes, these colors, any of it. But when you look down at what you're wearing, something about it just screams Yas. And we'll address that in a moment.
I'm sorry, Nathan. Do you know anything about your players? We need to pause this skill challenge for 45 minutes.
Yes, we need to describe what 60, we're wearing.
60, actually, for each of us have 15 minutes
That's
to talk about it.
Very
outfit.
True. Take a moment as I describe the other thing that happens at the top of the round, round three.
At least we're not naked.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. is that your best outfit?
Kaskrin, you start to see clods of dirt rain down on the gunnery deck.
Cool. Good.
Those above deck, this soil's feeling a little loose. You start hearing a couple of creaks, couple of groans, and one of the masts snaps off, unable to support its own weight in the now unsteady structure of the grass.
That's not the one with Simone on it, was it?
No.
Okay.
However, that is gone. And you all are starting to hear other parts of the ship start to rumble and come apart and crack, including your main sail.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hey everyone, Jonathan here with the mid-roll. If you're looking for the hottest frog memes around, join the Reckless Attack community on Discord. You can find a link to it in the show notes of our latest episodes or on our website, recklessattack.com. Want to support the show? Tell a friend or check out our Patreon at patreon.com/recklessattack, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback show as well as our new Reckless the Snack series, where we eat snacks, hang out, and just talk about whatever's on our mind. Thanks so much for listening to us, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the episode.
So at this point, Mango has finished the job of removing the trees. He has stopped dropping and rolling on the purple flames, just wriggling around in the mud and the grass right now. Checkers looks up, looks down. What is he wearing? And he finds himself wearing this long, glorious gown with a huge train behind him and a large brimmed hat with a scale model of a mansion sitting atop it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know where it's from or what it is, but he feels good. He feels right in this outfit. And so he picks up the train of his gown and just starts waddling forward. And he notices that the mast is starting to come apart. I don't know if this will do anything.
Okay.
But what I'm thinking is, I want to use my Blessing of the Hateful Turtle ability and summon the large jaws of water to clamp around the main mast and keep it stable and steady.
Very cool. Yep, I dig that very deeply.
So that'll be a 19.
That is, once again, exactly the DC.
Okay.
What does it look like? I mean, that's an epic moment. You gotta at least give it a little pizzazz there.
So Checkers is waddling across the deck of the skyship, now covered in mud and grass. and he pulls out a rock out of nowhere, chucks it at the top of this main mast that is threatening to break off in the force of this arcane storm. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, these thick, large, leathery jaws of a turtle just come out of nowhere and grab onto the mast, steadying it. And looking around in the chaos, Checkers can only think of only one thing to say.
Kenjamin! Kenjamin! Get up here this instant! Where did that come from?
Who's Kenjamin?
Who's Kenjamin?
Kaskrin Brightmane!
Yes. Kaskrin was below decks, directing people to fire on the worms. All of a sudden, he feels himself being bound, like his arms and his legs are just like shoved right next to him as if he's being like wrapped in something, and he falls to the floor. He suddenly notices that's very warm and cozy where he is right now. And his perfect outfit is one of those minus 30 degree sleeping bags, like the mummy sleeping bags. And it's made of materials that just don't exist in Rixia. They're like perfect, like polyester and cotton and down fibers. And just like,
you need to get this to a scientist to study for the next 10 years. It will advance textiles for centuries.
And only Kaskrin's face and like the beard are showing from this perfect cocoon of warmth. And as he's looking up, about to fall asleep, Kaskrin sees that like the fire is starting to like, you know, there's like parts of maybe the fire that's like he can see from down here. I'm kind of assuming he knows where this kind of is.
What I'll also say is that you can both see mud start to drip a little bit from the watery jaws, but also you can now see embers of grass blades start to funnel down off of the ship and cascade as it all goes up in this purple fire.
And now, Kaskrin in his worm phase is going to wriggle himself up so that he's standing on his feet, and he's going to curl up into a little ball. He's going to scoot forward until he's right underneath the kind of burning patches of grass. And using athletics and his muscular legs and his years of heavy squats, he is going to propel himself upwards like a bullet in an attempt to push the dirt, break the soil away from the ship, and remove the fire.
100%, 1,000,000%. Would you like to have a member of the Bones also help yeet you?
Yes. I'm going to ask the Seeker to like give me a lift.
Yep.
And I'm going to hop in their hands, and then I'm like jump and they're going to throw me.
The Seeker obeys with almost startling lack of hesitation.
Nice.
Is a perfect soldier, turns immediately, assumes the position. You can take your second of two advantages from the members of the Bones to help you bust through the fiery sod above you.
Oh. That is a natural 20.
Nice.
Woo!
Okay.
And look at what die that is.
look at what die it is, David.
And you see as the Seeker just hurls Kaskrin, this perfect torpedo bullet of like blue and red and purple patterns of synthetic fabrics that make this perfectly warm mummy sleeping bag.
And fireproof.
And extremely fireproof, bursts through the bottom of the deck. And suddenly, dirt and flame is spread throughout. These chunks of earth are just flying 10, 20 feet off the side of the ship. And Kaskrin comes to a stop as he, like, comes up, falls onto the deck, and then rolls over to Mango with, like, his face up and the beard just, like, hanging out there.
Gosh, I'm imagining such, like, an anime, but, like, Steven Universe style. This is, like, animation of Kaskrin just bursting forth in his sleeping bag, spinning perfectly around.
Yeah, it's a beautiful sight. Purple glinting in
the
air.
Do we all get like
inspiration?
I wasn't going to go that far, but I was just like bolstered by this beautiful sight.
There's definitely a moment where he's like, she's spinning up, the dirt flies out, and there's like, he's like hovering there in the air for a second before he comes back down.
Yeah.
And the grin with the sparkle off
yeah.
the table.
Oh, yes. Ding. 100%.
The fire is out. With a natural 20, there is no more fire. Checkers, you definitely get the sense in this moment mm-hmm. that, boy, if you had not been holding the main mast, uh-huh. a dwarf launching himself up through the deck maybe would have destabilized things. But you're there. It's cool. Fine. It's all taken care of.
Good job.
Things are doing great. A 1-2 combo. I'm going to roll twice. Oh.
This is not good.
So the context of this entire sequence, you guys are constantly still being bombarded by all of these flashes of arcane energy. But throughout, Simone, up top, has actually been hit multiple times with these. And actually, it would be worse if Simone weren't there with both kind of electrical and magic resistance, essentially. Another flash right above Checkers. And this whole time, Simone has been weaving, going up and down, almost like taking bites at the electricity, you know, kind of in the way that a snake does, and just lashing out and hitting it with fangs to absorb it some of the times. And then she goes totally still. As you see, coming down the mast at increasing speeds and across the watery jaws of the turtle spirit you have summoned, ice, which has frozen your watery jaws shut, has frozen the mast, but also you all see is now spreading across the ship. Now, my reaction wasn't just that. Obviously, that's no good. Maybe slow you down, makes footing a lot harder, that sort of thing. But another flash, and in the background of all of this, you've heard the sounds of a roaring inferno of fire. As you know, that is the sound of the engines of the fire elemental below decks coursing its power through the ship and all of the mechanical magical whirrings going on. And no matter what, you've been able to still hear that as a comforting white noise in the background. Until now. Something has struck the ship and you don't hear that sound anymore. You all start to feel a lightness in your stomach as the ship tilts forward a little bit and starts descending down to the ground with no engines, no sound other than the sounds of battle and chaos and sails flapping in the wind. Currently, you all have 8 successes out of 9 and 3 out of 5 failures. You really hold it back from the brink there, but this is all going to be wrapped up in 1 to 3 rolls of the dice. Self, you're falling.
Yeah.
The whole ship is falling, and you are being swarmed by horrific worms with beaks and horns and a desire to rip you apart.
First of all, very important, Selv's clothes have changed.
Yes, indeed.
So now, Selv is actually wearing a jet black gi, except for these patterns of silver dragons that are actually moving along his clothing. And cool. So they are flying and kind of twisting their way up his arm, like around his neck, down his chest, down a leg. And they just kind of like flow in this pattern. These two silver dragons almost chasing each other around his gi. And then he kind of looks down and notices that and just goes,
Not the weirdest thing that's happened today.
I am going to move as quickly as I can to the engine room.
Okay.
Am I currently getting swarmed by creatures?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Big time.
Then I would like to acrobatics my way to the engine room.
Yeah.
And kind of give a survey of what's going on there.
I dig that.
And see if I can either do something to resurrect, heal the elemental, light the thing on fire again, or, you know, see what's there that I have to work with.
Okay. Give me a roll.
All right. Acrobaticking. 14.
Oh.
That is a failure. You guys see Selv try to beeline to below deck, and he starts to get picked at by these creatures, and they are taking big bites out of you and your sick new gi, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But immediately, Selv, you are like bloodied. And just as five or six of these things just start swarming and dive bombing you and picking at you. Valeska Carter, it all comes down to this roll.
I don't want this.
It is pass or fail. And so goes your roll. So goes everything.
I hate this so much. Val will make a beeline for the engine room. And when she gets there, the glass dome that's usually glowing with a fiery energy is just blue, cloudy, gray. And she almost thinks there's no light coming from it at all, but can see a tiny flicker under this thick layer of ice. She can't see the fire elemental, so she's going to cast Aura of Vitality, which causes healing energy to radiate out from herself. And this looks like her clasping her shield in both hands, saying a quick prayer, and then kind of moving her arms out as this energy kind of radiates outward with it, and hoping to get the fire elemental some regained hit points as she does this.
All right, give it a shot. Are you thinking like a medicine?
Medicine.
Okay, let's see if it works.
Nope. That's two.
Oh, no. Does anyone have anything?
Tears.
Oh, okay, hold on. I pull out the rubbing of a world fact from my inventory that I got the first time we found the seeker,
yes.
The pious. And it tells me ancient ritual to reroll a die. on how to specifically heal a fire elemental anatomy in an engine.
So
we're all going to die
that in this moment.
I am into this idea, not just to take pity on you, because we literally have been talking about that for like multiple weeks now, to be like, oh yeah, we have this thing, we should maybe do this. And do you remember, anyone at the table, do you remember where we found this piece of lore, of world knowledge?
It was on the way to the Seeker's Cave, but it was like in a ruin somewhere.
I don't know if it was that on the Seeker's Cave, or was that the first when we were going with the Fortunate, and we found that, this actually makes more and more sense as I'm saying it, we found that temple that had like exploded out and was just charred.
Oh, yeah.
And all of the ruins on there were so burnt, I had to make like a perception check to find anything to read. And that is the rubbing of the...
I think that is true. So, what I'm going to tell you is something clicks in your brain in this moment. And the reason that it clicks in your brain is a couple fold. First, you're looking at this elemental and you are trying to pump healing energy into it and nothing is happening. And now you are starting to be lifted up off the ground a little bit because you're starting to free fall. You are trying desperately to rack your brain of any information on elementals that you have, and there just isn't a lot of scholarship on that on Rixia. It just, there isn't. There's very few. And the only thing you pull is Checkers' recent discussion about elementals. And there's rituals and this sort of thing. And just enough things slot into your brain where you remember this obscure piece of information. And it all slots in. You hadn't quite figured out what it meant yet, what it was. And you realize that the place that you found that bit of knowledge was a temple to a saint, an evil saint, who, in fact, was very into fire and explosions. Mm-hmm. You're not exactly sure the details of what happened to potentially destroy this temple, if that's even connected. But things slot in, and you realize, okay, I might actually, by combining these two pieces of information, be able to stoke the flames of this fire elemental, so to speak. So, I am rewarding you for doing the things that all GMs hope their players do, which is use magic items that they were given probably 70 episodes ago and engage therein. You can take a reroll,
okay,
and you can have advantage.
Cool.
Because this is a big thing that you are potentially sacrificing. Now, could I interest you? What I could see this being a history check. I could even do a religion check because this is based off of both a saint and a ritual as prescribed to you by Checkers, or something along those lines. What are your thoughts?
I'll do a history check.
Okay, you have advantage.
You're guaranteed to take us home with this. It's gonna be good.
So right,
woof. Right, that's what you say, huh?
Right now, you're looking at approximately 55% chance of success.
I got a beautiful gal waiting for me in Agmar. She can't wait to see me again.
Oh my
just
gosh.
One last mission.
Yep.
And we're going home.
And then after this, you can retire. You're that close to retirement.
Casgrin's about to retire.
Yeah.
Last day on the force.
I just sent my mom a letter.
All of this. Here we go. 17.
You all start to fall. And that is where we'll pick up next week. See you next time.
Wow.
Something along those lines. What are your thoughts?
I'll do a history check.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say, could I interest you in a double or nothing?
I considered it. I think there's enough drama.
Take it. Yeah.
Like, take it.
Absolutely stacked on this. I have an idea of a double or nothing. If you'd like to make it a double or nothing, or if you're just like, no, I would just like to have advantage to not have a catastrophic failure.
I don't know what a double or nothing is because you can't stack advantage.
No. Well, that's true. I would lower the DC, but it gets much worse if you fail. Much worse. But it also gets much better,
David,
if you succeed.
Not the right person.
I'm still waiting to hear what Val's wearing.
Yeah.
I am too stressed.
We'll describe it at the top of next episode if you guys survive. Uh-huh.